And they don't even run on average for 36 months. Their average would probably be more like 28 or 30 months. So the Australian democracy is very robust because the public have a chance to change the parliament and hence the government every 3 years or less.
Questions without notice. The Honourable Leader of the Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I direct my question to the Prime Minister.
The government has a cabinet and the opposition establishes a shadow cabinet. For every minister, there's a shadow minister. A shadow minister is somebody who follows the work of the minister, who challenges the work of the minister, and who develops alternative policies for the opposition, which will not only be used to challenge the work of the minister, but will also be used to try to persuade the public to vote for the opposition when the next election comes.
Thank you. Point of order, Senator Vanstone.
Yes, what about the people that don't have the choice? The millions that don't have a job and are relying on the unemployment benefits, who can't go and simply change.
The scrutiny mechanisms of Parliament are very helpful to the democratic process because they can, for example, refine and improve legislation, they can expose maladministration, which really means a waste of taxpayers' money, and they can crystallise complex issues to advance the public debate on them.
Well, I think that one of the real strengths of the Senate is the active committee system that it has. And these committees do a number of things, from looking at the nitty-gritty, the detail of laws that are being debated, from scrutinising, having a really close look at the money the government says it's spending, the way in which it's being spent, quizzing public servants about the details of the programs that the money's being spent on and whether they've been delivered. It's true the government very often doesn't like Senate committees, but some really important things come out of them, such as an exposure of the way decisions are made in secret, an exposure of the way in which government processes actually don't work, and they reveal for people and I think make recommendations to the government on how they should be doing their job.
News limits in position because there hasn't been enough time really inquiring the hell.
One of the things that makes the committees so valuable is that they consist of members from every political party in the parliament. And behind me at present is the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders Affairs Committee, and that's made up of members of the House of Representatives, and it's got people from every political party, Labor, Liberal and National Party. In the House of Reps we also have some independent members, and they're on parliamentary committees as well, so the independents have that opportunity to contribute. But as well as that, we also have joint committees with the Senate on major areas like foreign affairs and defence and trade. One of the things about the way the committees operate is that you get these people from different parties together in the one room, listening to the same evidence and looking at the same problem, and most of the time they actually come up with the same answers. In fact, well over 90% of committee reports are unanimous. Committees regularly travel outside Canberra to go to major provincial centres and to the capital cities to take evidence from ordinary Australians. That's a regular routine responsibility of all the parliamentary committees.
Of course, the media isn't part of the formal process of Parliament House. We tend to be on the outside, as we are here, having to find out from politicians what they're planning for the day, what's going on in Parliament House, and letting the public know what's actually going to be going on and how that affects their lives.
Politicians and the media are so intertwined with each other, it's almost like a strange marriage. It's a very strong love-hate relationship that locks them together in a fierce embrace. The politicians need the media to get their message through to the voters, and the media need the politicians to fill their newspapers every day with stories. So it's a very close love-hate relationship.
The Constitution clearly separates the roles of the legislature, the executive and the judiciary. The court interprets the Constitution and decides whether a law made by the Parliament is within power and otherwise complies with the Constitution. In deciding such a question, the court does not consider whether the law is a desirable law or not. That is a matter for Parliament to decide. The court, like the people, is bound by all laws made by the Parliament. The Court also interprets the laws made by Parliament whenever any question as to their meaning arises.
Mr. Speaker, His Excellency the Governor-General desires the attendance of honourable members in the Senate chamber.
Under the constitutional process, as members of Parliament have power delegated to them between elections to represent the Australian community, while those members of parliament can sustain the trust of the Australian community, they will be returned to office either in their electorates or as members of a government. If they fail that test of fulfilling the trust, then they'll be rejected. That's the ultimate sanction the public has.